afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Continues to be brutal out there. I walked down to the post office like literally a block, and I'm just like, this just sucks.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
I should have driven it.
Yeah.
Go through the drive-thru.
Get an Uber. Man, what's not going on? Jeez. Trump dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah.
The attorney general is trying to remove the sheriff. The Cardinals had 4 2-run home runs.
How about that?
I mean, it's just like, it's nutty.
It's a busy time.
It's a busy time. I have not officially, technically ended my tenure as executor of my mom's will, but I did the last hard thing I had to do today. So that's big for me.
Get that
big
out
accomplishment.
Of the way.
And it involved driving to Illinois, going to a credit union, closing out an account, getting a cashier's check, which sounds easy to most people. It doesn't sound easy to me. That's like 57 moving parts. So,
good job, Dave.
Thank you.
That's got to be a relief to have that over with.
Yeah, this morning I was sitting there on the couch having my coffee, doing my show prep, thinking of every way I could put this off till Thursday. And next thing I know, I'm in my car driving. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Getting it done.
Guess we're heading over. And I was ready for a fight. I just, like, I called them. They told me what I needed. I brought it. But I am DMV'd out. So I just assumed they would be like, oh, you didn't bring the TPS report. So I was, like, ready for a fight.
Nice.
They're very nice.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm sure they just want to help.
Yeah. Shout out to Dave. Last night I went to the Champions Club before the game, and Dave was checking me in, and he's like, you're Dave Glover? I'm like, I am. He's like, I'm Dave. Listen all the time. Told him I'd give him a shout out.
All right.
So,
what's up, Dave?
What up, Dave?
What up, Dave? And Robert Walsh says it's his mom, Belva's birthday today. Happy birthday, Belva.
Happy birthday.
I've never heard that name.
Oh?
That's a very old school name.
Yeah.
So the sheriff, I have been highly critical of the sheriff. I think I called him like a buffoon or something. But I don't know that I want to see him go. I don't feel like what he's, I mean, I'm sure it's an important job, but it's not like, you know, I haven't noticed that he sucks. And he's entertaining. And so I'm kind of like,
I see what you're saying.
Kind of rooting for the guy.
Well, the only reason we know, like people like us know that he sucks is because he's constantly drawing attention to the fact that he sucks.
Yes.
By his actions.
He's his own publicity agent.
Yeah.
I mean, there were complaints that like, his budget was out of whack, like well beyond what his budget should be. Like he was running a deficit.
Yeah.
Well, that's something that matters to taxpayers.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't, you know, none of, well, are you technically in the city, Dave?
No.
Okay. So like Rach is, but we're not necessarily like paying city, but we, everybody that works here is paying.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Taxes.
I'm playing funny with my taxes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you got to run your thing the way it's supposed to be run.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be putting people's lives, like livelihoods on the line with the roll of a dice.
Mm-hmm.
Get in your golf cart and go. You have 24 hours.
Yeah, just give him one as a going away present. There you go. Read a think piece today, right before the show started, about how deodorant is a sign of privilege.
Really?
And therefore, you should not wear deodorant unless you really are a millionaire. And even then, in some sort of protest against privilege, you should just go natural. Now, I understand going natural for different reasons. I mean, I don't because I don't do it. But this latest one where deodorant equals privilege because most of the world can't afford deodorant, then we're some sort of monsters for putting on our secret antiperspirant.
So a lot of the world can't afford $14 cheeseburgers. Should we not eat those?
Should we
only eat the food that you could afford if you're one of the poorest people in the world? I don't understand the logic behind what's being said.
Yeah.
Like, rather than simply like, well, I'm going to show solidarity by not doing this one relatively minor thing that's not going to help those other people at all, maybe do something to help other people instead.
See, Andrew, this is what I'm talking about. The Democratic Party didn't come out and say this, but this is the kind of stuff people hate. And so anytime the Democrats get close to something like this, I think you see an overreaction from everyone else. Does that make sense?
It does.
Everyone's like, oh, here we go again with the no deodorant crap. I'm just like, it's such a hair trigger for people, myself included. Like, mm-hmm. I really do hate the woke stuff. And when you say that, you have to define it because it's different for every person.
Which is funny because we don't do that with, like, Republicans and, like, literal, like, wars and bombings and stuff.
That's a very interesting point.
Needless destruction and taking of lives.
But I would say that we shouldn't do it. I start to say we don't do it with the Democrats either when it's policy things. Of course, they do. But we shouldn't. I think when it's a policy thing, like we should not touch Medicaid, or we should go in and change Medicaid and screw those poor people. I just think that policy things should be responded to differently than just stupid culture things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Why does this one person's stupid opinion bother you? About the deodorant.
It mathematically, it shouldn't, but it's sort of like when you've had enough of a person, mm-hmm. that person has shown you over and over again that they're just really annoying. And so you have a hair trigger for that person. And so let's say it's Kevin, and you come to me and you're like, you're not going to believe what Kevin said. And it's kind of like not that big a deal to me. I don't know why you're so triggered by it, but he's been triggering you for so long. And so it's not a person or a group, but it's that genre of stupid ass stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So for me, I can admit that it's an overreaction to one person's think piece, which could have been like a satire or something. I mean, it wasn't very funny if it was a satire, but did you guys see the story about the elk?
Mm-mm.
So there's a giant elk that was in a protected area that got out. Beth Coughlin from KMOX was there following it.
Mm-hmm.
And the elk, they don't know how it got out. It was huge. Like, picture a giant elk, giant rack.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurt itself, and they had to put it down.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
But what do you do with that elk?
I mean, so it was in a protected area? Was it like Lone Elk Park?
It escaped from Grant's farm.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like we have, like, specific elk places around here where...
No, I mean, what do you do with the carcass?
Oh, I mean...
That's an elk. You're not burying it.
You eat it.
I doubt they're going to cut it up and eat it.
They should.
I mean, at the very least, it should maybe go to the zoo. Because there are clearly animals there that would eat.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, like...
Feed it to the other animals?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea.
Just toss it in the bear enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Do bears eat elk?
I don't know.
You'd have to assume.
I would think they would enjoy some elk.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't say no if they found a dead one.
Yeah, if you put an elk steak out there, I'm sure they're going to eat it. I don't know that they're taking them down in the wild.
Yeah, don't even have to chase it, though.
I just Googled it. They do.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Grizzly bears and black bears. There you go.
They just stand
there. Answer to my question.
Stick their paw out and just clothesline them when they walk by and dig right in.
Okay, sorry to bring it back to the deodorant thing,
yeah.
But if deodorant is a privilege, what about the all-over body deodorant?
Oh, that's just...
Those people have got to be the scum of the earth at this point.
Yes.
I mean, but at that point, like, okay, then soap's a privilege. Don't use soap. Poor people all around the world don't have soap.
I mean, those things can be true. Like, it can be like, most of our lives are extremely privileged. Mm-hmm. We live in the United States. We have access to so many wonderful things. And most people listening right now, your life is very, very comfortable.
I was thinking about
this. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy your life.
Last night, exit ramp here. We have always had wealthy people, like, going all the way back. And I'm just... sort of fascinated by ancient wealthy people who had like an S ton of gold and, you know, precious stones and all these things, but they didn't have jack crap to buy with it.
Land.
Know? Yeah, I guess.
Land.
I mean, you had a better life than, you know, the slaves and, you know, whatever other sort of people you had.
Yeah, but you couldn't get an iPad or something.
Right. You couldn't just, you know.
But you had the valuable things for the time, which would be land, food, and protection.
And you're probably considered to be a deity of some kind, too. Like, you're descended from some sort of god, which that must have been pretty sweet.
That's all the worlds did.
I'd rather have an
iPad.
Hey,
guys, guess what? God made us this way. You guys should just keep giving us more of your money.
Do you have that tongue sound?
I do have the tongue sound.
The what?
Rachel, you'll have to play it in there.
We have a faith office at the White House. I don't know if you know this, but the employees of the faith office were on White House grounds praying, which I'm not sure how that's supposed to go. And then they started speaking in tongues, which I'm very familiar with. I'm not making fun of people who do that, because when I was religious, I was in a church where they did that. So I'm very familiar with it. But there's something very troubling to me about the praying and the speaking in tongues in the White House. Go ahead.
We pray protection over President Trump. We pray legions of angels guiding and protecting him. We thank you every time he gets in an airplane that there will never, ever be any attack on his life. He will live out his days for what you have written for him. And he will be a leader that this world will never forget, because he will be remembered for turning America back to God. We thank you and praise you today. We declare Jehovah Sabaoth, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, that them that hate him flee before him. And it is time, and we are declaring today that no stronghold, it doesn't matter what it is, so it cannot.
Am I just being a jerk that people should be able to pray at work, even if work is the White House, and even if it sounds kind of weird?
You're saying they should be able to?
No, I'm saying, like, I find this troubling. And I'm not quite sure exactly why.
If I were a more religious person, I would be thinking about maybe idolatry there. You're in the middle of prayer and invoking the president's name. Like any president, anybody who's not God or Jesus probably shouldn't be talked about in that way. If you're looking at it from a strict religious viewpoint, right? Like you shouldn't be putting any human in that kind of place in your prayer, should you?
What do you mean? I didn't hear them say, like,
they were talking about Donald Trump.
Right. Yeah. But to me, they were like lifting him up in prayer and please protect him under any
circumstances.
But
it was also like, let nobody, I'm forgetting, there was a part of it that was like, wait a minute.
It goes on.
Yeah, but like, again, it's one thing to pray for someone. It's another thing to almost prop that person, any person. Again, it doesn't matter who it is. Alongside the entities that you're praying to.
I don't necessarily agree that I heard that happening. However, I think if you're not in what they're doing, it's not weird to be a little freaked out by it. It's definitely very intense. And it's, yeah, if you're not a part of it, it's not odd to think that is strange. And I would hope that the people who are praying like that understand why other people would be kind of weirded out by it.
I think at minimum it's a bad look, because I didn't know, first of all, there was an office of faith, but if there is, it should be an office that handles all faiths. And this is your conduit for every religion to come to the White House and be heard. Okay. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'll pay those salaries. A lot of religious people in the country, a lot of different religions. It's okay to have an office there where you can kind of consolidate. But when that whole staff is out there praying to one God, speaking in tongues, it's not a great look. I think it looks like exactly what it is.
My worry, too, is that it's also the crossing of the blurring of that line between government and religion.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a line.
I can't believe I'm sticking up for this situation, but they were outside of the White House. It was just like a group of people.
They're on the grounds.
Right. But like, are you saying people shouldn't be allowed to pray on the White House grounds?
That's
unless
what I'm,
they're being
that's
inclusive?
What I'm working through.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, how would the average person react if there was a person of Muslim faith praying with that intensity on the White House lawn,
because
you wouldn't understand the words necessarily?
It's almost like a legal question in law school that it's the intensity of the prayer. Because if I go to someone's office in the White House and they're sitting in their office praying, I'm not going to be like, hit the siren.
Oh, no.
But if they're praying really loudly, then it's more off-putting. And so then you get to the point where it's a group of people speaking in tongues. So to answer your question directly, Rach, there's probably nothing legally wrong with it.
Yeah.
Because it's only a matter of degree between the person silently giving thanks for their salad and speaking in tongues, you know, out in the parking lot. But it's still emotionally off-putting to me.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like I said, like if you're not a part of that group who is doing that, I think it's completely fair to be like, whoa, that is odd. I am not used to that.
Longest first segment of the whole, my whole career.
That's one of the longest days of the year, you know?
It's there kinda, you go.
Yeah. Turn up the music just
as loud as it could go. Welcome back, DTS 125. We've talked about this before, but I just experienced it today. Can I just kind of crap on the city a little bit?
Yeah.
We've got all this money, and I know that we have a lot of things that we need to do with it. We don't have enough money to cover all of our problems, even though we have hundreds of millions. But today, I was in Illinois, taking care of my mom's business, came back, took the McKinley Bridge, for the love of all things holy. Talk about thinking you're driving into the set of Escape from New York.
Yeah.
First of all, just the bridge. You have like a 50% chance that that effort's going to fall, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get over onto 11th Street, where it looks like you're just driving into a not-so-great neighborhood, and you will if you go right instead of left. It's just so ugly. And it's one of the primary ways we get into the city. I don't have a solution, but I'm sure there are people you can hire who can do something about the face of it.
That bridge is treacherous. You've never seen more car breakdowns than
oh, really?
On that bridge. Oh, yeah. It's like once a week when I'm... Because I take the bridge to and from work. And when you're going over that thing, one in every 10 or 15 times there will be a car that's stalled in the middle of it.
That must really screw things up.
It is very difficult to work around.
I would freak.
On a super narrow two-lane bridge.
If I were
bridge.
Stalled on it, I would straight up freak.
None of them seem too bothered.
Well, I mean, if you routinely drive 70 downtown inside of 170, you'll be seeing dead cars on the side of the road. Some of them have had their wheels stripped. You see debris in the median, whatever median there happens to be next to the wall. I mean, it's disgusting. And 70 is the major thoroughfare east and west through this region.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're driving through 70 and that's your view of St. Louis, are you ever coming to St. Louis?
I mean, we're in a compromised position in St. Louis once we decided to go with the paddle boats and not the trains or whatever it was that cost us being Chicago. But, man, we don't help ourselves. The fairly simple stuff, just the same thing we do at our homes. We put pretty little things out on the porch so that it looks inviting. This is our porch. Come on in. No, you're not going to knock on the door of that house, that crappy porch. Welcome back, guys. DGS. 1 hour from now, we're going to have Ricky Horton join us. At 4 p.m., instead of the think tank today, we are going to have Melissa Price Smith, the new prosecuting attorney of St. Louis County, join us live in studio. She and I go back. We were in the same friend group right after law school.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she remembers, but we were.
We will be grilling her on the details at 4.
So.
Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, we're already friends when we met. Ed Michael Kelly's thing, and she's mm-hmm. like, really?
Oh. She's like, oh, that's great for you.
So.
She's like, yeah, I've always kind of felt that way, too. Soulmate. On the radio.
Soulmates. Kev, why is AI not AI?
So, again, this is not my observation. This is just, I've read quite a bit about AI developments in the last few days. I've seen a few people do video presentations on it. And essentially, it's not truly artificial intelligence if it's not intelligent. In other words, if it's not creating its own unique thoughts, if it's not...
It's just a really good computer.
It's essentially, that's the way it was described, is that this is just a great problem solver that has the ability to access basically the entire internet at any given point, and it only knows what we put into it versus intelligence, which can create ideas of its own.
It makes sense.
Right. So again, maybe it's a technical term, but the argument that one guy was making was that they're using the term artificial intelligence because it sounds cool.
Right.
And it makes a product seem even bigger than it is, even though it's an awesome thing. Right. Like we've all seen what these like ChatGPT can do. We've seen the images that they can. I mean, we saw Dave with Jesus hair and it was pretty great. Like we've seen the capabilities of what we're calling AI. But is something actually intelligent if it's only able to come up with answers based on what it can source from other places? And I know our brains are similar, right? Our brains take in all kinds of information, and that ends up being the basis for which we come up with our own ideas. But there are, you know, I mean, human beings have original ideas, have ideas that maybe nobody else has ever presented or studied or put out there before. And to this point, it doesn't seem that AI is doing that, you know, and it's so to be quote unquote intelligence, do you not have to be in some way sentient to understand that you exist and to understand that this thing is more than just a super advanced search engine that can, you know, create videos, can create, but it's only going to be able to do.
Yeah.
Those things, one guy was making the point that essentially this is all just marketing, that it makes the product sound so cool when you're calling it AI when it's not really AI.
So actually, by the time it is truly AI, the monkey's kind of dead. Like by the time it's truly intelligent, it's reached the singularity.
Right. Essentially, yeah. By the time you're in that position where you are an intelligence,
yeah,
then you have crossed a line that we have not yet crossed.
Yeah. And what's your thing about haters?
Okay, so I forget there was a root of this that started like that. It's people are irrationally hate. Like I irrationally hate certain things. You yes. irrationally hate certain things.
Yes.
And what I'm fascinated by in this conversation is essentially why are we hating that thing? Because I know that I hate certain things. Like I hate people that'll talk a certain way, or I hate hot takes. Right, being a sports guy. I hate hot takes. I hate people that feel like they always have to say something astounding or spectacular or controversial to get your attention when, you know, normal conversation is just fine. Like, we don't need to just create something out of nothing. That I hate, and I don't have a really good reason for it because I don't tend to watch it, but it comes across my Twitter feed or it comes across because I'll be talking to someone and they clearly listen to a hot take person and they're like, can you believe this? I'm like, well, that's just total BS. It's not real. That's just some guy saying things really loudly so he can get your attention and get a bigger paycheck. Like, that's kind of how it is. So what are your biggest hates? What are you the biggest haters of?
I am jealousy driven.
Oh, all right.
So
all right.
When people do better than me, I hate them. And, especially when they do better than me, but they're not better than me. So I'm not above hating my superiors. But when someone is not as good at something as I am, but they are more successful at it, that boy, there's some real hate. And my other big trigger is, and this is a little bit harder to describe, but it's when people don't see something that I see. For example, with Donald Trump. And I don't hate anyone for it. I just get very passionate. In a hateful way.
I get you. Yeah.
When it's like, how do you not see this? Or how do you not, what, you don't get it? What, you don't get it about Larry? For love of God, why do you not see? Like, that's when I get ramped up. But I don't hate races. I don't hate peoples.
I tend to hate behaviors. Like, I hate how billionaires act. Like, I don't hate billionaires. I do hate Elon Musk. I hate Jeff Bezos. I hate the none of you all matter attitude. You know what I mean? Like, it's so maybe it's more the behaviors that are detestable.
Yeah.
Than because it's not the people aren't necessarily hateable. It's just how they act can be. When you drive like nobody else is on the road, kind of hate you.
You know, I saw this on the sheet and I'm not having like a very haterific day. So I'm having a hard time coming up with my most hated things. I feel like I hate things based on my mood. Like if I'm in a bad mood and then something that. Is normally just like kind of bothers me.
For sure.
Hits me wrong. Then I will like, I'm so sick of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Well, for the most part, I actually don't care. Like most things I actually don't care that much. Yeah. It's just if I'm in a certain type of mood, yeah, then maybe I'll go off on it.
Yeah.
So maybe I just have like emotional problems or something. I don't know.
I don't know if it'd be a problem, but actually that's a pretty rational,
yeah,
way of looking at it. Like it's more your own mood based than, yeah, it is like everybody else.
It's so true. Like when I'm in a good mood, everyone's my friend. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, you, Larry.
Larry, I know you're trying your best.
I see you over there. No one else does, but we're cool. Andrew, how about you?
I feel about the same way. There's nothing that I just like. I don't really stew on stuff. I don't really go, I hate this so much. But again, when I am not in a great mood, it's very, I like, there's lots of things that I hate, but I'm not like a hater of, like, okay, so for example, I'm not a hater of like a genre of thing. I can't look at a big rock and go, I hate all big rocks so much, I hate them. But I could go at a look at a specific rock and go, F that rock for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could come up with, I can't generalize, like, I'm a hater of this type of thing, but I can look at an example of, like, you know, like the Supreme Court in pornography. Like, I know what I hate when I see it. I can't declare what I hate off the top of my head, but I'll, yeah, know it when I see it.
Because even, like, AI, there's plenty of AI stuff that I'm, like, fine with. It doesn't repulse me. A lot of the videos I see, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to look at that, but I don't feel like a burning hatred. But then you show me like the kitty cat AI videos and I'm like, this is pretty nice actually. I'll make an exception for you, little guy.
Is hate necessary? And I don't mean
it certainly hate, seems to be.
I don't mean like, I think Andrew
defined popular.
Andrew defined that really well though. Like, it shouldn't be about a group of things, yeah, or a group of people or anything. It shouldn't be, I hate country music, for example, because that's ridiculous. I mean, you can not like it, but why would you hate it when it's, you just don't have to listen to it, just, yeah, if you don't like it.
True.
And it shouldn't be groups of people automatically. But I do think that there's a reason we have that in us. Maybe at some point it was a self-defense mechanism where, mm-hmm, people you didn't like were actually a threat to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't gotten past that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a useful sorting tool. I don't want to associate around this kind of thing. I don't want that behavior. I need to be away from, because that behavior bothers
me. In general, do you believe them when people would answer that question that I don't hate anything or anyone?
No, but I do think that it's different,
a bell curve.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, I don't. It may not be a strong hate. It may not be a visceral hate like other people, right? Where, like, say I get angry about it, it may, yeah, be more of an annoyance to someone else. But there's something in that, because we all have it to a degree. I, yeah, do think there are a lot of people that live it more online.
Yes.
Because it's free to do.
That's one,
right,
thing that I don't give enough appreciation for in my life, since I'm not on social media, is there's a whole world of hate that I just don't see.
Yeah.
And I'm not sucked into, and I'm not a part of, mm-hmm, and I don't partake, and I don't say things. I mean, it's enough. I talk 4 hours a day. But yeah, that's a godsend to me that I don't have that.
Yeah.
It's always confusing. I'll be on Twitter or something, and let's say like a Democrat, someone who identifies as a Democrat, says or does something stupid. Then someone will quote tweet it and be like, this is how the Democrats are. I'm like, well, that's one individual. You're summing them all up. People do the same thing with MAGA. It's like, you're, yeah, all exactly like this. And it's just confusing. There are people I know in real life where I'm like, man, you're a lovely person. And then I see what they post on Twitter. And I'm like, you have a lot of rage inside you. Like, I'm a little concerned that you don't lead with this in your real life. But there's something about, once you enter that online space, it's like, let her rip. Mm-hmm. It's very odd.
I think there are a lot of closet haters. People who would rather not think of themselves as being haters.
Oh, yeah. You think so?
Oh, yeah.
That they don't think they're doing it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I know there are people that do it for show, too.
Oh, sure.
Like,
and for money.
A lot of it's engagement on social media, because that's what gets clicks. It's what gets.
That's one of those things that makes me sad, is that, you know, you learn things, you prove things. And this experiment we've had with social media the last 20 years or so, to me, has revealed a really dark, nasty side of us. Just, there's just no denying it.
I think,
and again, it's not everyone,
yeah.
And it's not the same people every single time. But I think it's hard to argue with that the net outcome of this has been like, damn, woof.
I think it exposes how extreme we can be, good or bad. Because if you go on certain things, you'll be like, I can't believe that hero just saved that little child. Look at that. He put his own life on the line. Like, you can see the coolest things and the worst things. And is it, let me ask you guys this, is it a good thing to see the extremes of what we're capable of? To know that it exists and to have it not just with what you see in your own little world, because our own little worlds are pretty siloed off from most things.
Yeah.
But you're exposed to the best of the best. The kid that survived cancer and he's now helping other kids, like, that's the best of the best.
Yeah.
And then there's the worst of the worst that are trying to divide people.
I am less hateful since I've been doing my No One Dies Alone work, because when you are regularly in a room with someone who is going to be dead in a few hours and might pass away in the next few minutes, you can't help but be very self-reflective and existential, and you're watching this human being on their way out, and they don't care about any of this crap, right?
Mm-mm.
If you could wake them up and say, you want another 30 good, you know what I mean? It's like their time is just about over with, and the families are dealing with it. And it just, like, it's one of those things that just puts everything in perspective. Like, all these stupid things, me going off on the McKinley Bridge, like, if I were dying, it just wouldn't matter. Does that make sense?
No, yeah.
I mean, it's clarifying to see, like,
that's,
oh,
a good point.
This thing really does end.
Yeah.
I should look busy. Mind my P's and Q's.
I should look busy. The boss is watching.
The boss is watching. Welcome back, guys, to TGS 151. Razor's Edge coming up at the top of the hour. Some fun facts. I don't know how fun they are. ChatGPT is already eroding our critical thinking skills based on the several studies that have just come out.
I've been saying.
So it's already happening.
All right. So on this note, I found this no more than an hour ago, and I bookmarked it. So if you go back, everything was supposedly making us stupid. In 2016, it was our phones making us stupid. In 2008, is Google making us stupid. In 1884 is our books making us stupid. And Plato actually wrote that written language was a bad thing because it would produce, quote, forgetfulness in the souls of those who have learned it.
Yes, I know. And people hated cars when they first came out.
I know,
you talk about this all the time. And this is very much not the same thing.
And everybody says every time, this is not like the other things. But every time we have the same discussion. And then we have the same exact impact and result. We end up moving past.
No, we don't have the same exact impact and result. They're always different.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, okay, so...
All you're saying is that life goes on. Yeah, it does. And it will with AI, too.
Are we dumber because writing exists?
No.
We're dumber because the internet exists. We're dumber because television exists.
So some of the smartest people in the world at the time... when writing was being said, that was going to make us dumber, but it didn't.
We're wrong.
Are books making us dumber?
Not in my opinion.
In the 1800s, people argued that books were going to make us dumber.
Okay, so because three people said, I think books are going to make us dumber.
Not three people. Historically significant people.
What do you mean?
Historically significant people whose views are respected on many things.
Like whom?
Like freaking Plato.
Plato was not alive in the
1800s.
Like Socrates. Plato did not exist in the
1800s. Andrew, try listening for a second. Socrates said writing would make people stupid.
I'm not talking about Socrates. Language.
So he was right.
You said in the 1800s, significant historically important people said books made us stupid. And I'm saying name them. You said Plato.
You want to name them all.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Yeah, let's put aside the book thing. Here's my thing with ChatGPT. Have we ever heard of the saying that's like, you teach a man to fish, he eats for life, you just give him a fish, you got to fish for him the next day. Go something like that, right, guys? That's what ChatGPT is to me, is here's the answer, here's the work, here's your outline.
You got your fish for the day.
Here's everything you need. Exactly. People are not using the skill of gathering their own information and using their own decisions. They're just relying on a program to do it for them. that makes sense that it's making you dumber over time because you're not using the muscles in your brain to complete a task by yourself. You're getting so, like, someone is fishing for you at every turn.
How is that any different than people who can't go anywhere without automated directions? Because they don't never learned how to navigate. They don't know north, south, east, or west. They don't
not
know.
Not a lot different.
I wouldn't say it's different.
No, I know, but we accept. But that's totally acceptable.
I would say it's
why
very much
is
different.
It different?
Because it's different skills.
It can be acceptable, but true. Because it's true, for me at least, that I no longer have the navigational skills I used to have. Because I'm dependent upon my phone.
Right. And you're so, not dumber because of that. It's just one less thing you need to
definitional,
do.
Definitional. You know, I mean, I'm dumber about that.
Right, but you're in general, you are not dumber. You're just not processing information you no longer need to process.
But if it's something that
just like most of us can't hunt because we don't need to.
But for example, if it's something I'm learning and I can learn it in a traditional way, or I can go to ChatGPT and it can just tell it to me and I can write it down on my exam.
Right, but again, I don't know how to hunt because I don't need to. It's not necessary in my current world to know it. So some people would be like, "Well, you're an idiot that you don't know how to."
So you're saying you will get to for we don't need to think anymore.
Yeah, you're saying that we are going to get to a point where we don't even need to think, and that's okay because we won't have to because we'll have ChatGPT. So thinking will no longer be of any use to us.
No, you don't need to think about a thing that you're not specifically educated on to know.
What?
So in other words, you don't need to have expertise in things that. You don't need expertise in. You can look them up.
But the
how is it any different than looking something up?
Okay, so what about when it gives you
Look at a book as opposed to searching a search engine?
Let me speak. What about when it gives you incorrect information? As it frequently does.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't.
So it's not just critical. It's not just a lack of critical thinking. It's wrong information. That
it's why you shouldn't rely on it. That's not the point.
Can I interrupt? The point
is we always think that every new thing is going to ruin us, and it never has.
Dave, you have the floor.
The single best quote and the thing that most recently sent a chill up my spine was this. Let me speak. That was very Count Dracula.
Having an immense amount of difficulty not swearing.
Let me speak.
And that's how that manifested.